ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद् भागवतम् सेकेण्ड् केण्टो चाप्टर् 10 Text 51. This chapter is entitled as Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. And today we'll discuss text 51, which is the last verse of this chapter and also is the last verse of the second canto. Suta ubacha,
Suta ubacha,
Ragya,
Ragya,
Parikshita,
Parikshita,
Prishto,
Prishto,
Yada,
Yada,
Avacha, Abochan,
Abochan,
Maha,
Maha,
Muni,
Muni,
Tad,
Tad,
Ba,
Ba,
अभिभाष्ये श्रीनुता राज्ञा प्रश्न अनुसारतः प्रश्नानुसारतः सूत उवाच राज्ञा परीक्षिता पृष्ठो जदवोचन् महामुनि तद् तद्वोभिधास्य श्रीनुत राज्ञ प्रश्नानुसारत राज्ञ परीक्षिता पृष्ठो जदवोचन् महामुनि तद्दोभिधास्ये श्रीनुतः राज्ञ प्रश्नानुसारतः राज्ञ परीक्षिता पृष्ठो जदवोचन् महामुनि तद्वोभिधास्ये श्रीनुत राज्ञ प्रश्नानुसारतः
Mataji's
Sūta Uvāca, Sūta Uvāca. Sri Sūta Goswami replied, Rāgya, by the king, Parikṣita, by Parikṣit, Priṣṭha, as asked, Yat, what, Abhochat, spoke, Mahamuni, the great sage, thought, that very thing, Baha, unto you, Abhidhasye, I shall explain. Srinuta, please hear, Rāgyaha, by the king, Prashna, question, Anusarataha, in accordance with. Translation by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda. Śrī Sūta Goswāmī explained, I shall now explain to you the very subjects explained by the great sage in answer to King Parikṣit's inquiries. Please hear them attentively. Please repeat after me. Śrī Sūta Goswāmī explained,
I shall now explain to you
The very subject explained by the great sage in answer to King Parikṣit's inquiries. Please hear them attentively. Purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. Any question that is put forward may be answered by quoting the authority, and that satisfies the sinner's section. That is the system even in the law court. The best lawyer gives evidence from the past judgment of the court without taking much trouble to establish the case. This is called the parampara system. The learned authorities follow it without manufacturing rubbish interpretations. Ishwaraha Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govindaha Sarvakarana Karanam. Brahma Samhita 5.1. Let us all obey the Supreme Lord, whose hand is in everything without exception. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the second canto, 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. So Bhagavatam is the answer to all questions. So that means if we know Bhagavatam, if we get to understand Bhagavatam properly, then we have the answer to everything. Everything will be answered. Everything will be known. And everything will be achieved. Jashmin vigyate sarvam evam vigyatam bhavati. Jashmin prapte sarvam evam praptam bhavati. If you know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. If we get to know the Absolute Truth, then we'll know everything. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam is actually revealing the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedas are revealing the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Srimad Bhagavatam reveals the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead completely and fully. Bhagavad Gita also is revealing the identity of Krishna. Krishna himself is revealing his identity. Krishna himself is speaking about himself. But Bhagavad Gita is not really explaining about Krishna to the fullest extent. Why? Because when Krishna speaks about himself, how much can he speak about himself? But when somebody else who loves that person speaks about him, then he can explain about him fully. We notice that when a big man speaks about himself, if he has to speak, then he cannot really. Actually, there are also two types of men, two types of people. One kind of people are the vain people. They brag about themselves. They are vain, they are empty, they are shallow. But a real great person, will he speak about himself very highly? Rather, he speaks about himself in a very simple and humble way. Especially if that person is a devotee. Like we find the devotees, they're so humble. If you want to understand a devotee, if you want to get to know a devotee, and if you go to the devotee and ask him to reveal his identity, you won't get to know him. You have to hear about the devotee from others, then only you'll get to know him. Or there is another consideration is, how do we recognize a devotee? How do we see a devotee? We see a devotee by hearing from him. What will the devotee do? Will the devotee speak about himself? No. A devotee will always speak about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But anyway, a great person, if we want to recognize a great person, then we have to hear about him from others. Like we notice about Prabhupada. Prabhupada never presented himself as a great personality. Prabhupada was like, in the West, when Prabhupada started the movement, Sankirtan movement, Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada named it after Krishna. Although at that time, many other Indian so-called sadhus also went to America, and when they established their establishment institutions, they named them all after themselves. All of them, they were named after themselves. This society, that society. This mission, that mission, they're all after themselves, named after themselves. But when Prabhupada went, what did he establish? Prabhupada established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And for many, many years, people did not know who is the person behind this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Even now, in India, this institution is, often people don't recognize who is the person behind this institution. Like for example, in Mayapur and Vrindavan, ISKCON is known as Angrezo ka Mandir or Sahib Mart. In Mayapur they call it Sahib Mat. In Vrindavan they call it Angrezo ka Mandir. Why? Because they don't know. the personality who established. And because Prabhupada never wanted to promote himself, Prabhupada always maintained a very humble position. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, we do not properly get to know. Although we recognize Krishna, Krishna is speaking about himself. But there are often, it becomes difficult to make out that Krishna is really the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, have an opportunity to make their speculative presentations through Bhagavad Gita. Like Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, actually it's only at the fourth chapter that we get to know that Krishna is God to some extent. At the beginning of fourth chapter, Krishna tells Arjuna that imang vivashvati yogam praktavana homabhaya. I spoke this knowledge to Vivashvan. After explaining the third chapter, he said, I gave this knowledge to Vivashvan. And then through the disciplic succession of the Rajarshis, the knowledge was flowing. But in course of time, this knowledge was knowledge that got spoiled. Yoga nashta parantapaha. And therefore, I am establishing this again through you, because you are my friend and you are my devotee. Sa evayam mayate adya yoga prakta puratana. This puratana yoga is I am establishing through you again, because bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hi etaduttamam. This great secret is being revealed to you because you are my friend and you are my devotee. But then Arjuna asked Krishna, but aparam bhavato janma parang janma vivasvata. Krishna, you were born just the other day, and Vivasvan was born so many millions of years ago. Katham etat vijaniyam tamadu praktavaniti. How can I understand that you said it? Then Krishna says, ajopi shanabhayatmam bhutanam ishvaropi sam. First time Krishna in Bhagavad Gita is explaining that although I am unborn, already it has been pointed out that jivas are also unborn. Ajo nitya shashvato ayam purana. But then, ajopi san abhayatma. But he is saying, bhutana mishvaropi san. I am the lord of all living entities. Prakritim samadhishthaya sambhavami atma maya. I appear through my internal potency, prakriti shamadhishthaya. So in this way, Krishna is revealing for the first time. Otherwise Arjuna also couldn't recognize that Krishna is God. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. And then Krishna is explaining step by step. Why Krishna comes? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanirbhavati bhava. Whenever there is a decline in religious principle and uprise of adharma, then dharma sangsthapanarthaya sambhavami. Krishna says that he doesn't need to come to this material nature. But he comes to re-establish dharma when the dharma is in critical condition. And then he continued to explain that what does he do when he comes? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam. And in this way, then Krishna is saying that my janma and karma is divya. And the wonderful thing is that evam juvetti tattvataha, when one gets to understand that Krishna's janma and karma is divya, Takta dehang punar janma naiti mamiti shu Arjuna. When he leaves his body, he doesn't have to take birth again. Like we, if we simply understand that Krishna's janma and karma is divya, then we'll become free from the cycle of birth and death. And in this way, Krishna established his identity to Arjuna, and he mentioned why he did that. Because bhaktosi me shatachiti, you are my devotee and you are my friend. And Krishna explained that only by devotion, bhakta mam abhijanati. And one gets to know me through devotion only. One has to become a devotee to recognize me as the Supreme Personality of God. Otherwise one will not be able to. Unless and until one becomes a devotee of Krishna, one will not be able to recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. And Krishna reserves the right not to reveal it to him. You see, the prerogative is not... It is actually our prerogative that we benefit recognizing Krishna, recognizing Krishna's identity as the Supreme Personality of God. It is not that by accepting Supreme Personality of God, by accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are doing him a great favor. Krishna, I am accepting you as God, so I am doing you a great favor, Krishna. No. On the other hand, by recognizing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are deriving an inconceivable benefit. We benefit. It's our benefit. It is our prerogative. It's our advantage. It's our good fortune that we are able to recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is. And most of the people don't have that good fortune. Those who cannot recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, mudhas, the fools, the idiots. Mudha means an idiot. Krishna is saying, abhajananti mam mudha. The mudhas do not recognize me. And not only they don't recognize me, they abhajananti. They deride me. Manushim tanumashritam. They see me as a... Because I appear as a human being, my form is like that of a human being, they deride me, thinking that I am an ordinary person. And they think that because if I am God, then they also can be God. They look like me, or I look like them, therefore, if I am God, then they can be also God. And that is the biggest problem in today's world. I am God, you are God, everybody is God. Everybody is God, only Krishna is not God. Only God is not God, but everybody else is God. And that's why the param bhavam ajananta. They don't see my param bhavam, my transcendental qualities, my extraordinary activities, my extraordinary prowess. And they don't recognize Mama Bhuta Maheshwaram, that I am the supreme controller, I am the supreme proprietor. So in this way Krishna is making it clear in Bhagavad Gita about his identity. But then again, Krishna is saying, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Riddeshi Arjuna Tishtati. It's confusing. The Ishvara, the supreme person, is situated in the heart of every living entity. The question arises then, why Krishna is not saying, why he is saying Ishvara Sarva Bhutana? Why he is not saying, I am situated in everyone's heart? Well, read a little more deeply. You will find Krishna is saying, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Matta Sarvang Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajante Maam Buddha Bhava Samandita. So, we have to understand that it is embarrassing for Krishna to blow his own trumpet. To brag about... It sounds, a great man, when he speaks about his greatness, he feels embarrassed. Like, I have seen many rich people, very rich people, very rich people. They don't want to present themselves as a rich person. They say, well, I'm just an ordinary person. But then others tell that he is worth so much. Then you find out he's even worth even more than that. Because for tax reasons, he doesn't declare all his wealth. But even then, what is declared appears to be so much. If we really want to recognize Krishna, his identity, we have to go to Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is Krishna himself is speaking about himself. Therefore, Krishna is not revealing his identity to the fullest extent. But when it comes to Srimad Bhagavatam, his identity has been most wonderfully explained. And then Bhagavatam is actually leading to the 10th canto. And in 10th canto, Krishna's most wonderful identity has been revealed. Krishna in Vrindavan. Now Bhagavatam has 12th canto. The question may arise, now why in 10th canto the Krishna's supreme identity has been revealed? Why not in the 12th canto? In this respect, it has been pointed out that when you have something very valuable, where do you put it? You put it in a safe, in a box, right? The box has a lid, right? So 11th and 12th canto are the lid. Up to 9th canto is a box, 11th and 12th canto is a lid, and the real wealth of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, is kept inside the box. And this is how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained it. Another explanation is that you have a necklace. Where is the most valuable jewel? Although the necklace has many jewels, where the most valuable one is? In the middle, in the locket. So in this way, the most important wealth is kept hidden as a secret in the middle. So gradually Srimad Bhagavatam is leading us from first, second, third, fourth up to the tenth canto. So in that way, even if you consider that Srimad Bhagavatam is the body of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then in the body, what is the most important aspect? What is the most important part of the body? To recognize the identity of the person? The face. So in that respect also we can see, the first two cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam are the legs of the Supreme. The third and fourth canto are the thighs. The fifth canto is the abdomen. Sixth canto is the chest. Seventh and eighth cantos are the arms. Ninth canto is the neck. Tenth canto is the smiling, brilliant, lotus-like face of the Lord. Then 11th canto is the forehead. And 12th canto is the head. The body is complete. So if we understand these 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if we want to worship the Lord, then how do we start to worship? Do you go straight to the face? No. Start from the lotus feet. So first canto and second canto are the lotus feet of the Lord. So And in this 10th chapter of the second canto, we have come to the last part. This 10th canto is very interesting, because in the 10th canto, the lakshanam, the symptoms of Srimad Bhagavatam has been described. Bhagavatam is Mahapuran. It is a Mahapuran. There are various types of Puran. Puranas, Mahapuran, and then there are Upapurans also. So in the Mahapuran there are 10 symptoms, lakshanam. And what are those 10 symptoms of this? This is the first subject matter that has been dealt with in this 10th chapter of the second canto. I'm sure all of you have memorized that verse. Let us see how many of you memorized it. Only so few. I'm quite disappointed. I thought everybody memorized it. We took so much trouble. We took so much trouble to memorize it. Ten lakshanam of Srimad Bhagavatam, of the Mahapuran. Okay, let's see who did not raise their hands. Radharani, I thought you memorized it. You memorized, then you forgot. Lakshminath, I thought you also memorized it. You're such a big personality. You should. I thought you memorized it. I thought great personalities don't forget. Okay. Who will say it? Okay. Very good. So these are, so let us see, first is sarga, then visarga, then sthana, then poshanam, then utaya, then manvantar, then ishanukatha, then nirodha, then muktir, and finally ashraya. So Bhagavatam has all these 12 cantos are dealing with these aspects. Muktir ashraya. And ashraya is the samam bonam. Ashraya is the absolute truth. Ashraya is the supreme personality of Godhead. And what is mukti? People talk about mukti. Mukti has been described as, who remembers? What's the symptom of mukti? Okay.
Mukti hitva natha rupam sarupena.
Vyavasthiti. Very good. Hitva means what? Hitva? Hitva means giving up. Mukti means hitva annatha rupam. Giving up the other rupams, other identities, other forms. Swarupena vyavasthiti. When we become situated in our swarup, that is called mukti. And what is our swarup? What is the swarup? Okay, Raghav. Okay. Which one is correct? The last one? Okay. Jiver swarup hai Krishner nityada. The swarup of a living entity is that he is an eternal servant of Krishna. So what does mukti then mean? Yogesh, what is the meaning of mukti then? Okay, Sitanath?
Jivesharupa, Krishna Nityada, part of, he is servant of
So what mukti means? To become the servant of Krishna. So when you become a servant of Krishna, then are you mukta or baddha? So is it difficult to become liberated? In order to become liberated, you have to perform great austerities and penance?
No?
Do you have to go to Himalayas? Many of us think that. I used to think. To become liberated, I have to go to Himalayas. Therefore, I went to Himalayas. And there, what did I find? Those who are supposed to be mukta, I found that they are more baddha than I was. How they spend their time? Most of the time? So they are slaves of ganja. So how can they be mukta? And so the liberation actually means to become sarupena vyavasthiti, to become situated in one's sarup, original identity. What is the jiva's original identity? Actual identity. The actual identity of the jiva is? He is the eternal servant of Krishna. And that is what we are trying to do. Is it correct, Lakshminath? Are you trying to become the servant of Krishna? Or are you going to try to make everybody your servant? So, that is our actual identity. We are not the Lord and Master. We are not the enjoyer. We are not the controller. Who is the enjoyer? Bhuktaram yagya tapasam sarva loko maheshwaram. The supreme enjoyer, the only enjoyer actually is Krishna. The only controller is Krishna. Akale ishwar Krishna arshav bhrita. Only Krishna is the supreme Lord and Master, and everyone else is his servant. Arshav bhrita. Mishraji, are you in agreement?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay, very good. So, we simply have to become a servant of Krishna. And if we become a servant of Krishna, then what happens? We become liberated. Liberated means? Liberated means free from the imprisonment. Why a prisoner goes to the prison? Why a prisoner is sent to the prison? Because of his crime. And as a result of his crime, he is punished. Why nobody wants to go to a prison? Because there they'll be punished. But when somebody is a good man, somebody is law-abiding person, will he be put into prison? No. Who are put into prison? The criminals. And who are the criminals? Who break the law? So here, the question arises, whose laws? We are in the prison house. This material nature is a prison house. Why are we in this prison? Why are we in this prison? Will you tell us?
We broke the laws of Krishna.
Very good. We broke the law of Krishna, laws of Krishna. So that's why you are in the prison. Now, if you want to get out of the prison, what should you do? You abide by the laws of Krishna. You surrender to Krishna. So when... who put you in the prison? Because of breaking the law? Krishna's arrangement that we are in the prison house. So, if we want to become, get out of the prison, then what we have to do? We simply have to surrender to Krishna. And if we surrender unto Krishna, then we'll become free. Sony, is it a, is it, does it make sense?
Yes.
Do you feel that you are in the prison?
Yes, sometimes I used to feel, but now I feel that since I have surrendered to Krishna, sir, I'm feeling liberated.
Very good. So see, Sony has become liberated. He didn't have to go to Himalayas. Just living. No, that's good. Good point. Although he is in Ujjain, he is doing his work in the bank. He is maintaining his family, but he is liberated. Raghav Pandit, do you agree with Sony? Very good. Tum bhi liberated ho gaye ho. So in this way, we can achieve liberation so easily. All we have to do is to surrender to Krishna. Now the question is, how do we express our surrender to Krishna? Krishna is sitting in Vaikuntha, Vrindavan, and we are here. How do we express our surrender to Krishna? Very good, by surrendering to his devotees. Let us elaborate on this point a little bit. The prisoner is in the prison house. And the king is in his palace. So when the prisoner surrenders unto the king, how does he express his surrender? He accepts the authority of the prison. And he starts telling them, I'm so sorry. You know, I broke the law. And I was in ignorance, I didn't know. So please forgive me. And he tells them, beat me more. I'm such a rascal. I broke the law. So beat me up, so that I become. But will the prison authorities then beat him? No, they will say, well, his mentor, he understood. His consciousness has been rectified. They say, very good. We are not going to beat you. You're a good man. You're surrendering to the king. So we will write to the king. And then they write to the king that this prisoner number, XYZ, has become surrendered unto you. He has given up his perverted mentality and he is. So the king will say, okay, very good, I'm very happy. And what the prison authorities then do? They start to treat him like a very special person. They don't treat him as a prisoner. Although he is dressed as a prisoner, although he still looks like a prisoner, but they use him as a model prisoner. They put him up and show to the other prisoners, look, you become like him, then you'll also get this extra benefits. And he uses that, they use this prisoner to educate the others. So that what does the prisoner do? He starts to tell them about the king. So that, look, you know, I surrendered myself to the king and my prison suffering has been over. So why don't you also do that? You also surrender unto the king. And you also get the same benefit. And in this way, that prisoner who surrendered unto the king starts to preach to the other prisoners. And by that, due to that, the other prisoners start to also become liberated, become free. And then, when the king gets to hear that this person is so nice, then the king says, okay, now let him go and let him come to the palace and let him be with me. Can the king do that? Can the king bring a prisoner to his palace? If the prisoner becomes his devotee, becomes his loyal servant, the king will say, okay, he's my good servant, so let him serve me in my palace. Then the prisoner becomes promoted from the prison to the palace of the king. Will it be wonderful to live with the king in the palace?
Yes.
So the material nature is the prison. So which is the palace of the king? Who is the king at the first place? Krishna is the king. And where is his palace? Golok Vrindavan. And there what does the king do? There the king enjoys with his intimate associates. And there the king actually allows us. There he is not the king anymore. He becomes our friend. He becomes very, very close, intimate one. And when you go there, he says, "My friend, I've been waiting for you for so long. I'm so happy that you have come back." So in this way, we can be promoted to the topmost region of the spiritual sky just by surrendering unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, at the end, Krishna is telling, "Sarva dharman parityajya, mam ekam sharanam braja." Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Radharani. What is the false ego?
We identify with our Krishna.
When does the false ego appear?
When we turn our face away from Krishna.
What happens?
When we actually get subtle body of mind.
When we turn our face away from Krishna, then immediately what happens? We look at Krishna's inferior energy, separated energy. Now, the jivas are superior and the living entities are inferior. Therefore, the living entity develops a tendency to enjoy the material nature. Right? And that's how he develops a mistaken identity. False ego means what? What is a mistaken identity? Instead of the being the servant, we are trying to become the Lord and Master. Right? Therefore, so the cause of our false ego is looking away from Krishna. Now when we look towards Krishna, then what happens? Then we see the superior energy. And we recognize our situation as inferior. Right? We see ourselves as inferior. And by recognizing ourselves as inferior, what happens? We surrender ourselves unto the superior, the supreme. Then what happens? You become a servant of Krishna. So is what happened to the mistaken identity? Rectified. So that's what happens to your false ego. Right? The corrected, it becomes rectified. The mistaken identity now is rectified. When it's rectified, then it's not there. The false ego, mistaken identity is not there. Then you have become situated in your swarupa, in your original spiritual identity. Yes.
Maharaj, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada is saying, the feet of Krishna. It's not possible reading more far. You know, separate the sex desire, no? What happened? I read it more? I stopped in the first?
First canto?
Yes.
First canto, second canto? Yeah, you keep on reading. And as you keep reading, you get to know more and more of Krishna. And then when it comes to 10th canto, then you see Krishna. His face. His real identity. You recognize the God, the Supreme Lord. Because when you are seeing the feet, you don't really recognize the person so much. right? Then you are going up, up, up. When it comes here, then you see the person. No, Prabhupada said up to 10th canto. Not first and second.
Yes, Prabhupada in Purport told that if we are not free from sense desire, should not go further to the foot. That is why if we are not free from sense desire, we should stick to first and second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. If we are free from then it can proceed.
Well, Prabhupada may say that at some point, but Prabhupada also wanted us to read his books. Then devotees are so humble, then they'll never go beyond second canto. I remember long time ago, a Prabhupada's godbrother, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, he was a very wonderful devotee. And he was actually also very close to Srila Prabhupada. So once I asked him, he was, actually anyway, his name is Krishnada Srila Krishna Babaji Maharaj. So I asked Babaji Maharaj, how to get rid of sex desire? And Babaji Maharaj said, how can I tell you? Because I myself didn't become free from sex desire. So Vaishnavas are always very humble. So they will... So we have to continue with a prayer to Krishna. That if Prabhupada said it, but we say that, well, Prabhupada, although I haven't been able to free ourselves from sex desire, still we are trying to become free from material attachments by taking shelter of your Srimad Bhagavatam and your support. Any other question? How can we? No, say it again.
As long as our mind is attached to materialistic thought, how can we still remain fixed to Krishna service?
How can we fix our mind? By trying to remember Krishna, Manmana Bhava.
Our mind is so crazy. Our mind is so restless, arguing.
Well, abhyasena tu konteya, vairagyena cha krishyate. Krishna is saying, yes, Arjuna also asked Krishna that how can I control the mind? How can I? Because mind is very, very difficult to control. That it is, it's possible to control the wind, but we cannot control the mind. Then Krishna told Arjuna, by practice you can. Fine, it is difficult, but keep on practicing. So we have to just keep on practicing, remain in the good association, read Prabhupada's books, chant nicely, render devotional service nicely. Dance in kirtan. So mind will be absorbed in Krishna. Yes, Janava.
Someone who did write, and it's very long, so it was, and is it that he doesn't feel the pain
It will depend upon his Krishna consciousness. Like, you know, to the extent our consciousness is projected to Krishna, to that extent we will become unconcerned about our body consciousness. Right? So when we become completely absorbed in Krishna, then the body consciousness will not be there at all. Right? An example can be given, like a patient in the operation theater is given the anesthetic, and then the surgeon cuts his body. Does the patient feel? He doesn't feel anything. Why not? Then we have to understand, what does anesthetics do? Anesthetics actually withdraws the consciousness from the body. Anesthetics numbs the nervous system. The consciousness in the body is flowing through the nervous system. So when the nervous system is numbed, then no feeling is there. Now, there with anesthetics we do it in artificially, like we're not letting the consciousness flow to the body, and still we can see that there is no body consciousness. Now consider, if the consciousness is projected onto Krishna completely, will there be any body consciousness? No. That's why we see Haridas Thakur was being mercilessly beaten up. But he was not affected. And those jalladas, those executioners became worried. You know, what's the matter? This person? Anybody else would have been dead by the time we beat him in second marketplace. By the time we took him to the... I mean, in the first marketplace they would have been beaten. But this person has been beaten 22 marketplaces and nothing is happening to him. Why is that? Because his consciousness was not in the body. And so, you know, like different individuals will be in different level of Krishna consciousness. Some will be in a lower level, some will be in a higher level. But the thing is that when you develop that Krishna consciousness, even at a lower level, we become detached. The things that would have perturbed us so much do not really perturb us, even though we may be at a very neophyte stage. But at least theoretically we understood that in the material nature, nothing is permanent, everything is transient. So whatever happens in the material nature doesn't matter.
Prabhupada, in relation to Jalana's question, when we take the Krishna consciousness in the beginning process, we strongly preach to ourselves that we are not this body, we are still the soul. We engage 10% in service, excessive book distribution, hard work and so on. But then when we turn 40 plus, it's Krishna's arrangement that by nature in this female body we start understanding that we're deteriorating, the whole system is shutting down. But it has such a strong impact on pains and aches, and it affects our service and our sadhana to such a strong level. And this is what we're discussing. You said it seemed to go to a sort of paradigm shift that all of a sudden you're more conscious of the body because of the aches and pains. But by this stage we should be thinking, yes, no, we are not this body, we're detached from the aches and pains. So how to achieve that, where we can be completely detached, because it does affect us greatly, a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. The aches and pains will be there, but we simply have to tolerate that. And if you keep on tolerating, at the age of 40 plus, you are getting the aches and pain, But by the time you become 60, it'll be another thing. Like those aches and pains won't matter to you anymore because you'll get used to it. And actually, this is how nature makes the arrangement. You see, the thing is that when you're born, we did not have any attachment to the material nature. Right? Then gradually, with the passing of time, we are increasing our attachment. Right? When you reach the prime of youth and when, as you said, until 40, actually it's maybe even 35, anyway, whatever it is. Up to that, you know, like the attachment remains with the body. The you know, body at that time, you see, body and soul are in very close harmony, in perfect harmony, body and soul. Healthy body actually means that body and soul are in perfect harmony. The soul's influence over the body is intact. But then the soul's influence on the body begins to diminish. Right? So it's like a curve like this, you know. And this way, gradually, our attachment, soul's attachment to the body will start to diminish. And finally, at the time of death, no more attachment to the body. The soul is now ready to leave. It's Krishna's arrangement. Now we have to take it. Therefore, you know, it's so important to live naturally. Today's world is teaching everybody to how to live artificially. Even at the age of 60, wants to behave like a young man or a young girl. Even at the age of 70, like I was listening to one tape, Prabhupada was saying that, you know, like in America, 75-year-old man still going to nightclub. Like, you know, it's a time that, you know, go along with your nature. Now the body is becoming, you know, take this opportunity and be free from the entanglement of the body. You see, so it's ultimately a matter of, you know, separating the body and soul. Theoretically we understood, we are not this body, we are the spirit soul. But the soul's contact with the body is so strong that although theoretically we understood, you know, practically we cannot act according to that understanding. But it will happen in course of time. You know, as the body starts to get old, yes, the soul will become more and more isolated from the body. And at the time of death, the soul is free now. No more entanglement with the body. Otherwise, the body is always trying to keep the soul within the encagement of the body. Therefore, we have to take advantage. Like when we are 70, let's not try to behave like a 17-year-old. When you are 70, let's behave like a 70-year-old. Right? And then only at the time of death we will not feel like extending our stay. Rather we'll say, oh, wonderful, now we are free to leave this body. But then again we have to know about the next destination. Only when we know the next destination, then we rejoice with this opportunity of this freedom. That now I am free to go to my next destination. The body was keeping me in this place, in this world. But now I am ready to go to the next destination. And what will be our next destination? Any comment, Dr. Parmar, You are an expert with the body and the soul, as a doctor. And also you are a devotee, very advanced devotee. What will be your comment to this discussion? One thing at least I can say that comes to my mind, that your profession actually forces you to keep people within the bondage of the body. I'm talking about your profession. Isn't it? Like whenever there is some difficulty, physical difficulty, remove the difficulty so that the self can be nicely situated in the body. Thank you, Dr. Parman. Hare Krishna. Yes, Anshu?
Maharaj, why Bhagavad Gita, although that Sanjay and Dras, they were also listening to the Gita from Krishna himself, but they didn't get anything. And why somebody deliberately put them into the Bhagavad Gita? Because if they remove their character, then Gita remains as it is.
Yeah, you see, Dhritarashtra didn't understand, but Sanjay did. Sanjay is a devotee. So while Sanjay is speaking, Sanjay is deriving the benefit. But because he's a narrator, he's just giving a neutral description. Otherwise the question will arise, well, Dhritarashtra was in Hastinapur, battle was taking place in Kurukshetra, how did Dhritarashtra get to know about this? Right? And so that it's a part of Mahabharata. That is how Sanjay actually explained. Okay. You see, when an authoritative person, when a transparent medium narrates it, then also it is as it is. Like for example, Prabhupada explained, elaborated Bhagavad Gita so much. And still it is, why is it as it is? Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is. Why is it Bhagavad Gita as it is? Because Prabhupada's explanation is clarifying Bhagavad Gita even more. Because Prabhupada is a via medium. You see, and this via medium is transparent via medium. Transparent means it is in the middle, but it's not obstructing. And it's not actually, although it is said transparent, but actually it's like a lens. Right? When my eyes are defective, I'm short-sighted. So when I'm just seeing you, I'm not seeing you so well. But I put on the glasses. This is between my eyes and you. What is the glasses doing? What are the glasses doing? It is enhancing my sight. So, a devotee, as a transparent via medium, enhances the vision of the observer. Right? So Prabhupada coming between us and Krishna is actually enhancing our sight of Krishna. Okay, yes. Last question. Oh, you also have a question, Balaram? Okay.
If we remember Sri Krishna in our dead time like Ajamil, then we liberate or not?
Yes. Why do you think Ajamil's story was there? So that we can take advantage of that. Yes, it has been pointed out that if one remembers Krishna at the time of death, he will derive absolute benefit. He'll go back to Krishna. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande.